Hallelujah. I'll say this. I want to get on with the last. I'll say this. The times that I'm at my house on my swing or on my recliner or whatever, and I do spend time with the Lord, I do know this, that revelation does come and has to come. You can't spend the time with the Lord without a more detailed comprehension of God's word. There's just, you can't. But I'll say this, the Holy Ghost, we have a language from heaven. It has to be perfect in every aspect of the prayer. And I tell my wife about 2 months ago, something died in me, man. A pet peeve died inside of me. I'm not gonna tell you what it is. I will one day. Something that I've struggled with my whole, and it's not a deal breaker sin, but it's something that you might not even think it's wrong, but I know it was unacceptable. But I kept getting up. I kept beholding this. I kept spending time with Jesus. And about 2 months ago, I realized, hey, this hasn't happened. Now, there's a difference. See if I can explain this right to you. You can think of the scripture in your mind at the moment. You can think of the scripture and apply it. And that's righteousness. Amen? You can think of the scripture. You're going through a hard time or you have an attitude or you're angry. Your mind can revert back to the Bible. So, okay, this is what it says. So I'm going to apply it now. And that's commendable. That's righteousness. But what I'm talking about is for the last 2 months, I haven't had to remember the scripture and apply it. The pet peeve is gone. You know what I'm saying? I think it's called mortification. That's what I think it's called. Now, I'm not going to justify the ex-pet peeve that I have, because upon regeneration, I had the power to not act on it. Now, regeneration didn't fix the inward feeling. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense to you? But I didn't have to, regardless of what I felt, it didn't have to come out. It could have stayed in and not come out, but now it's not going to come out, but it's not in no more. Thank God for our prayer language, man. And I just cried. I said, it's gone now. There's more things in my life. Nothing deal breaker at all, but there's things that are unacceptable to me and to this pulpit and to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do? I keep getting up in the morning. I keep going through the gospel of the kingdom. I keep growing in knowledge and wisdom. I keep edifying myself. I keep telling Jesus, I love you. I keep praying for my kids. I just keep going. And mortification takes its place. But we never have an excuse. I heard a man say one time, and I've heard it a year before, and it really bothered me. But I didn't say nothing. You don't have to say something every time you hear something that's wrong. Pastor Brock's all right. Now, if you say in front of me, well, I'm committing adultery, but I'm okay, I'm going to say something. You know, I'm going to say something. So if you say something that's not going to hurt anybody, well, I don't know. It all depends what it is. But I've heard from a couple of people, well, don't worry about it. You're not mortified yet. Well, that's true. Just because you're not mortified don't mean you have to say it. So that's be careful. There might be a little bit of hyper grace there. Be real careful. Well, I did it because I'm not mortified yet. No, you did it because you wanted to. Now, the inward feeling goes away after you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. But you did it because, like Pastor Dave said, a line that he said all the time, he said, a born-again believer sins because he wants to. That's a simple but a profound statement. Regeneration will take care of the action. The Holy Ghost will take care of the inward lust in a broad sense. You see, are you with me? Amen. So thank God for, and I don't talk about this much, but thank God for the hours, man. Thank God for the hours. My kids know, Nathaniel and my wife, my kids know I'm on that swing. They see my lips moving, they know what I'm doing. They see my CD player there, they know what I'm doing. I'm in that rocking chair. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected every single day. Every day I grow closer and closer to the Lamb of God. Amen. I really think tonight you're going to be blessed, real blessed. I haven't been much on titles because Miss Candy always has the perfect title. When I do minister God's word, she says, "What do I name?" I said, "Miss Candy, name it what you want to name it." It's always a good title. She always does a great job, and I concur. But this one, I want to name it "The Fruit of Our Labor." Name this lesson "The Fruit of Our Labor." Now, Paul said "Fruit of My Labor" in Philippians chapter 1, but I'm going to rechange it and restructure it for our sake. The fruit of our labor. Now, either male or female, I'm about to get started. I need someone to be me today. Who's that going to be? Anybody. Male or female. Say, "I'll do it, Homer." For real, it's not a joke. Who's going to be me today? Who said me? Who said, "I'll do it"? Harry? Okay. Harry is Homer right now, okay? Homer, what's up? Okay, here we go. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm in the congregation today. I'm preaching at us. Not at you, at us. Me included, okay? Here we go. Now, under Mosaic law, if there was a controversy between two, Deuteronomy 25, I'm just going to exhort it real quick. Under Mosaic law, Deuteronomy 25, if we had a controversy, let's say two people had a controversy, you had the right under Mosaic law to go to the judges, whether it was a macro offense or a micro offense. Macro offense being a large-scale offense, or micro, a small-scale offense. You had the right. As a spiritually dead man under Mosaic law, you had the right to go to the judges so they would justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. You with me? You had that right under Mosaic law. You had that right. None of you have ever been under Mosaic law. So that right is not given to you and me at all. Under Mosaic law, if we had a contention, we could go to the judges and ask them to judge our controversy. And if the judges found that person innocent, off into the breeze, into the wind. If they found me guilty as a wicked person, they would lay me down on my stomach and put marks on my back because I was the wicked one. Whatever the judges determined to be my penalty, they would flog me, according to Deuteronomy 25, put marks on my back for the wrong that I had done. We had that right, or they had that right, the Hebrews did, under Mosaic law. Are you with me? We're not under Mosaic law. Whether it was a macro offense or a micro offense, you could go to the judges, so they could judge what was right and wrong. Basically, you didn't have to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to take your sin against me. We're going to go to the judges. I'm going to let them judge because I want you punished. Basically. Are you with me? To an extent, that's a nutshell. I could probably get more specific, but just to exhort it. Deuteronomy 25. In Christ, And I looked at the word macro in the Webster. They said a large to a large scale. I looked at the word micro in the dictionary, and it meant a smaller scale. You had that right to go for the judges to judge the controversy. Now, I made up my own word under the Homer's dictionary. Macro means large scale. Micro means small scale. You had the right, spiritually dead man, under the law to go to a judge for him to judge the controversy. And if you were found guilty, you would get flogged. Basically, you were filled with unforgiveness. You wanted that man to be guilty so that he would get stripes on his back. You with me? Okay, pay attention now. I'm fixing to get to a point now. Macro offense, micro offense, you could go to the judges. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, at times we still have that mentality. When you hold an offense towards somebody, make no mistake, you want stripes on their back, what they said and did to you. If you take offense over something small, you will take offense over something big. You will. So there's macro, micro. I had the right to go to a judge to judge. In Christianity, I made up my own word. There's a nocro. Nocro means that offense better not exist at all. At all. We're not under Mosaic law. Our candle has been lit. We have been begotten by an abundant mercy. The grace of God was shown to us through the kindness shown to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. Macro, micro, us born again, nocro. Now I'll say this. Somebody asked me a great question. Well, Stephen, I got Stephen in Tuscaloosa. We were talking about this a while back. He's a good friend of mine. And I got nicknames for everybody. I call him Bishop. I call his brother Elder. I call Carl Wall Street Carl. I call Maya the Bronx. I call Miss Peggy, Miss Candy, Sweet Candy. I call Pastor Bronx Big Dog. Hey, my wife calls me Hey, Hey, Hey when I walk in the room. Yeah, Hey, Hey, Hey. So I nicknames for everybody. You know who Hey, Hey, Hey is? Fat Albert. Yeah, so I got nicknames for everybody. And Stephen said, this, Homer, I believe what you're saying. But what do we do until we get there to that type of mortification? I said, that is a great question. And I have a great answer. Don't say nothing about them. Keep your mouth shut. Until mortification comes, just keep your mouth shut, man. Keep it shut. Macro, micro, judges, no crow, born again. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. He said, love as I loved. He didn't say love how Homer would love or Harry would love on a good day. No, love like I loved. But before he said that, he washed the feet of his betrayer, even before he was betrayed. Jesus walked in no offense whatsoever. You can't love like Jesus loves till you completely know that you're born again of an abundant mercy and that you won't say nothing about nobody, man. No matter what they do, even unto death, you will not say nothing. The end result is complete mortification, or even if they do something to you, it won't even bother you. You won't even want to respond. That's what we're after. Not macro, micro, no. It's talking about no crow with us. No crow is revival status. No crow is the manifestation of the kingdom. Yes. Are you with me? I called the big dog today, Pastor Brown. I called Pastor Brown big dog. And I knew Barry Johnson told me one time, you call me, Homer. We talk. I got three elders that I talk to. I talk to Pastor Bronk. I talk to Gary. And I talk to Barry, Gary, and Pastor Bronk. Now, I can say this in all honesty, 99% of the time that I call them, I already know the answer, but I just like validation from my elders. Pastor said something Sunday. He said, be real slow if you think you got a revelation. Hang on to it till you know that it's right. If I'm speaking something new, if it doesn't jive with my elders, I just be quiet. No matter how right it sounds to me, I don't speak it till I can see it clearly. So I called him today. I said, Pastor Bronk, I'm not offended at you, but I'm working on something for tonight's lesson. If I told you I had an offense toward you, Pastor Bronk, and then I asked a question, but I didn't let him answer it because I wanted to add more to it. I said, I believe now, Pastor Bronk, I haven't always thought this. I believe now that I've matured in God that 99.9% of the time that I've been offended at people, I've found out that 99% of the time I could fix the offense within myself. In other words, I didn't have to go to that person and tell them they offended me because offenses are on me. They're on me. So if they're on me and I'm offended, then it's up to me to do what I have to do not to be offended. I don't have to go to you to not be offended. I got to fix myself, man. Completely fix myself. I believe all unforgiveness or whatever the offense can be fixed. It can be fixed within yourself. Let's think about Jesus. What did he tell Simon Peter? Before the cock crows tonight, you will deny me three times that you know me. Third time, rooster crowed. You remember the word of Christ. The Bible says Simon Peter wept bitterly, bitterly. And he remembered the word that Christ told him. Jesus looked at him with eyes of compassion. The Bible said he didn't say nothing. Maybe. Let me be dramatic with this. As Simon Peter betrayed the Lord as Simon Peter betrayed him because he was scared of death, the Bible said that Christ looked at him and Simon Peter wept bitterly. Maybe, just maybe, our Lord looked at him with the eyes of compassion. Maybe. In Aramaic or in the Hebrew tongue, Jesus said, I love you. Maybe. Maybe Jesus gave him a, you'll be back. You'll be back. Are you going to give me all you got? Maybe. Probably not. Can we afford, man, to take an offense? And if we are by chance offended, can we afford to open up our mouth? I know there's wrong done in this country. I know there is. I know there's been unjust things happen to people in this country. I know there has. There's no denying that. I don't deny it. Pastor Brown doesn't deny it. And by the way, Pastor did a great, great job on Sunday. Alex Genty told me about it. He said he loved it. I concur with 1,000,000% with what he said. I completely concur with it. Completely concur. And I understand that wrong has been done to people. I understand that. But to hang on to the past as godly people, to hang on to past hurts, make no mistake, you want somebody to be beaten in their back for the past hurts in your life or maybe to your ancestors. If you can't let go what someone did to you, even to your race 100 years ago, you want marks laid on somebody's back, man. You are adding to the gospel of the kingdom. You are editing the gospel of the kingdom. Look, in Christ, there's no macro, micro. There's only a nocro. No, it's gone. It's over. You can't add to the kingdom of God. You can't add to the gospel of the kingdom. You can't. If you do, you're in the wrong. I don't care what they've done.
had a problem with white people, a big time problem with white people, based on an innocent little white girl that I dated in school, that her parents sent her off to a private school because she was dating a brown guy, which was me. It wasn't love. I was just dating her. She had a lot of money anyway. A lot of money. A lot. But it bothered me. I would have sent my daughter to private school too if she was going out with a bum like me. Maybe they weren't racist. But I took it that they were racist for a long time. Well, that's no excuse. I don't care what they've done, what they've said, what the liberal news says, what Fox News says. I don't care. It's what this book says. I don't have political views. My views are biblical. Now, the platform that I support believes in some of my views that are biblical. But I don't vote based on political views. I vote completely based. I don't have a right or left view. I have a biblical view. Completely biblical view. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ, and you can't love Jesus until you keep his word. There is no such thing as loving Jesus outside of not keeping his word. You are misled. You're deceiving your own heart if you think you got a relationship with Jesus without obeying his word. They're both one. So no matter what's been done in the past, there's been unjust police officers without a shadow of a doubt. Yes. Amen. Pastor Brown will tell you the same exact thing. There has been unjust police officers. There has been. I know that. But we got to move on, man. We've got to move on. What about the just police officers? What about those? Enough of that. My point is this. Micro offense, you had the right under Mosaic law to go to the judge and the judge between the two, and the guilty party would be flogged. That right doesn't exist in our lives. We take it. We get in the prayer closet. We don't open our mouth. We stay in there. We let mortification take its place. Why? Because there's a fruit of our labor. We live for a reason, and one reason alone. That's why I call this message the fruit of our labor. You can go to Philippians chapter 1 real quick. Philippians chapter 1, what is it, baby? Verse 9 through 12. Yeah. Now this is called, the name of this lesson is the fruit of our labor. It says my labor, but this is what being a Christian is all about. Nothing else. Someone talked about you? So be it, man. We were born again by an abundant mercy, man. We're born again by the blood of innocent Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed and ransomed by his blood. Now, going to the book of Philippians, I want to get done a little early today. I want to get you out of here late at all. Paul said this to the church in Philippi. Paul's writing to the Philippian church. And bear with me. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, he said, And this I pray. Now, do you have a right as a believer? Whether it's a macro offense or a micro offense, do you have the right to walk in unforgiveness? Do you have the right to talk about what they did to you? No, you do not. Every time that you're offended, I guarantee you, if you look into the mirror, if you look into the blood, if you look into the word, you lift up your hands and worship Jesus, you'll conclude that it wasn't their fault that you were offended. It's your fault that you were offended because you were begotten by a precious blood, man, by a precious redeemer.
So we live. We pray. We believe the gospel. We labor for the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said this, and this I pray, that your love, here goes the doctrine of being complete once you're born again, completely blows it out of the water. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you would approve things that are excellent, that you would be sincere and what? And without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which unto Jesus Christ to the glory of God. This is what I like it, right? This is what this whole sermon is about, the fruit of our labor. This is why we get born again. This is why we behold the gospel. There's no macro or micro in us. We don't walk in offenses. And if we slip up, we get under the blood. Lord, forgive us for saying what we said. It's that simple, and he will forgive you. But Paul says this to the church of Philippi. He says, and this I pray, this is my will for you, family prayers, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Your love won't abound more and more in knowledge and judgment outside of this book. It will not abound. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and judgment, that you would approve things that are excellent, that you would be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are unto God, to Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, something like that. But the next part really hit the spot. He said, but the things that have happened unto me, Paul was put in jail for the gospel's sake. He preached Jesus. The Judaizers hated him. Some in the church hated him. He got put in jail for preaching the gospel. He got put in jail for healing the sick. He got put in jail for raising the dead. He got put in jail for the gospel of the kingdom. And then listen to what he said. But the things which have happened unto me have happened rather unto the furtherance, of the gospel, that my chains in Christ are manifest to the whole palace guard and in other places. Let's break it down. He said, I want you to abound in love. I want you to be filled with knowledge and judgment. You would approve things that are excellent. You would be sincere and without offense to the return of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And by the way, the things that happened unto me, Paul, have happened rather unto the furtherance, the progression, the advancement, the profit, have happened to me rather for the furtherance of the gospel. This gospel progressed. It was seen. Christ was seen in me because I did not walk in offense. But the things that happened unto me have happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, the whole palace, the whole prison knew why I was in chains. They knew it. They knew that I was in chains because of the gospel. The whole palace guard knew for what reason. I was accused of being in here as an evildoer, but no, I was put in prison for the gospel. And if I'm put in prison for the gospel, most Christians would have said, well, God closed the door on this, so I'm in jail. He must have changed his mind about my calling. He said, no, I'm going because of the gospel, but in prison, I will defend the gospel that I'm in jail for. The modern body of Christ, we can't even get over each other. Honestly, we get offended at the smallest of things. Things that happen 100 years ago. we're editing the gospel of the kingdom. And this is what gets me. This is what gets me. It seems that we get more offended when there's a racial element involved in the happening. Think about that. That doesn't exist in Christ, man. I'm a proud Mexican American. I love being brown. But I'm not a victim, man. No party can make me feel like I'm a victim. No party can convince me that an officer is out to get me. Every time I go uptown, I don't need nobody's sympathy. I know who I am. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor through the blood of Jesus. And I watch what I say. I won't give myself to logic. I won't give myself to the liberal news. I won't give myself to Fox News. This is the good news. Not liberal news, not Fox News. I hear the good news. I don't care what Fox says. The people on Fox make me mad sometimes. They talk about they're devout Christians. I'm a devout Catholic, but they have no problem making fun of Joe Biden. I don't like his platform, but Titus chapter 3 says, Homer, speak evil of no man. But they talk about their devout Christians, devout Catholics, but then they rip poor Joe Biden because he has a mental problem. They rip him and claim Christianity. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. He's a human being that deserves salvation, man. I saw a little bit of a debate last night. What's the name of that guy from Pennsylvania, Fetterman? What's his name? The guy that had a stroke. I heard a little bit of Fox News talk about their devout Catholics and their devout Christians. And here this guy had a stroke and he could barely talk, man. And it hit the spot because I had four strokes and I could remember nothing, man. I had a problem with my own speech. And here this guy, now I don't like this guy's platform at all. I don't believe in defunding the police. I don't believe in, oh my God, on-demand abortion. The woman can have an abortion up to the last day, man. That's infanticide, man. That's what he believes. He wants to release a third of the prisoners, murders, or whatever they are, release them from prison. I don't like his platform. But that don't mean I don't like him. To see the people on Fox News mocking this man, trying his best to answer a question, but he couldn't get it out. He couldn't comprehend. He couldn't even speak. To claim that you're a devout Christian. Okay, I don't like his platform either. But he's an individual that Jesus died for, man. See, Paul understood this. So I'm in prison because of the gospel. But in prison, because of the gospel, I will defend the gospel. So that my chains in Christ will be manifest to the whole palace and in other places. They'll know. I won't complain. I won't open my mouth about those that put me in prison. I'm in here now to defend the gospel. I'm in here to defend the blood of Jesus. I'm here to show his mercy and his grace and his compassion. I'm going to furtherance. The gospel's going to profit. It's going to progress. It's going to advance through my lifestyle. Remember what I named this lesson, the fruit of our labor. The fruit of our labor. See, Paul understood this. He understood the grace and the mercy that begat him. He understood what it meant to be a servant, a doulos of God. I love that word. I love that word. Pastor Braun likes using the word revival. The word doulos to me means the same exact thing, because you're not going to work revival unless you're a doulos. And if you're a doulos, you're going to work revival. Amen? A doulos is a bond servant. You're sold out to the cause. And I love that. I love that word. I love it. Same thing. Revival, doulos, revival, revival. It's the same exact thing. I just like that word. Paul knew what it meant to be a servant of God. When you're a servant of God, you love
people. No matter who they are, no matter what they do, there's something in our spiritual DNA that loves people. Whether they're gay, whether they're transgender, whether they're homosexual, whether they're prostitutes, whether they're Islam, whether they're Korean, fornicators or adulterers, we love people. We don't like what they do because this book doesn't like what they do. But you cannot be a born-again believer and walk. I guess you could walk in hate if you wanted to, but you're not a real Christian, my friend, if you hate people. You're living in pretense, man. Complete pretense. Paul understood this. He knew why he lived. He understood that the grace of God was shown to us through the kindness shown to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You want to walk in grace? Obey the gospel, man. You want to walk in grace and mercy? Follow the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, and this is the true grace of God in which we stand. The whole writing of 1 Peter was the grace of God. That's how we live. We follow the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Prostitutes followed Jesus. Adulterers followed Jesus. Thieves followed Jesus. They would give their life to him and change their ways. You can't make fun of people and expect to pray and expect them to be born again based on your prayer. You cannot. I don't care. I can't see how a person would want to be transgender. But does that mean that I have the right to hate them? Would our Savior hate them? Does our Savior hate them? Well, the Spirit of the Savior lives in us. We don't remember yesterday's hurt. If you want to remember something about yesterday, remember what he did 2,000 years ago. You were forgiven a tremendous debt. You owed 10,000 talents of debt you couldn't repay. But his blood bought you, man. And you want to hold on to someone's sin? You want to hold on to yesterday's hurt? Why don't you hold on to yesterday's victory of 2,000 years ago? The blood of Jesus, man. Don't you say a word about past trends, about past hurts. Let it go. Keep yourself, walk away from bondage, man. Don't buy the lie. Let it go. Paul also said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 24. This is where I got most of this lesson from. And this just, I cried. I cry all the time, but I cried. I put myself there. When Paul said these words, and they just blessed me. I went to sleep for 4 or 5 days repeating this Bible verse, repeating it. I repeated it so much that it went over inside of me in my dreams and in my spirit over and over again. Paul had it figured out. The fruit of his labor, the reason that he lived as a believer in Christ, one reason and one reason alone. He knew what it was to be a doulos. He knew what he needed to do to work a revival. He knew it. Our lifestyle is for one reason. One, I didn't redeem myself. The blood of Jesus redeemed me. Perfection redeemed me. He was scourged. He hung on the cross. He went to hell. On the second day or third day, he rose again. I'm justified by what he did. All I did was believe and confess that he did these things. He did all the legwork, man. And I received the fruit of it. That, my friends, is grace. He tasted death for mankind. That is the grace of God. I sinned. He died, I was born again. I sinned, he was punished, I was born again. I sinned, he was scourged, I was healed.
I sinned. He hung on a cross. I died the spiritual death. I'm born again. He died, went to hell, resurrected. I'm risen again with him. Based on what he did, I believe what he did. And I'm justified by faith and faith alone. I did nothing to earn my salvation. That's why Paul said, the fruit of my labor is this. This is why we better understand grace and mercy. This is why he could go to prison and the gospel would be advanced in the eyes of people, because he had an understanding. He had an appreciation of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him. And he said this in 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 24. I'm paraphrasing. Cut me some slack. That Christ will be magnified in my life. Listen to this. That Christ would be magnified in my life, whether by life or by death. Listen to this. For to me, Paul said, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, here we go. But if I live in the flesh, if I live in this body, this is the fruit of my labor. And I say to the Family Prayer Center, as an elder, as an associate, we live that Christ should be magnified in our life. We don't live to take an offense. We don't live to give an offense. We live so that Christ would be seen in our life. Paul said this, that Christ shall be magnified, whether by life or by death. He said, for to me, Paul, to live in this flesh is to show you Jesus. And to die is to be with him. But if I live in this body, this is the fruit of my labor. What's the fruit of your labor, Paul? That Christ would be magnified in my body. Are you with me? He said that Christ will be magnified in my body. That's the fruit. If I live in the flesh, that's the fruit of my labor. Paul, that's the fruit of our labor at the Family Prayer Center, that Christ will be magnified in our body, that all that we say and do will completely magnify the Savior. But you can't magnify him if you live in offense. You can't magnify him if you live by yesterday's hurt. You can't. There's no way. You only got one will. You only got one spirit. He said, I live for this reason, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen to this. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Listen to what he said. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Stop. I'm going to give you an opinion. I don't usually give opinions, but it's an opinion that it won't hurt anybody. It's an opinion. I somehow, a little bit of me thinks that maybe, I don't know if pastors ever thought about this before, that maybe, I can't prove it. It's an opinion. An opinion. That's all it is. Don't write me any letter like Gary says. If you write them, just make it out to homebrewthrowitinthetrash.com and I'll read them, okay? But this is an opinion. To me, it seems a little bit that Paul might have had a choice to go home and be with Jesus or to remain in the flesh. Just an opinion. It seems like he could have gone home at liberty. But listen to what he said. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with him. Oh, he said, which is far better. I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire, there's a longing in me to depart and to be with him. He said, which is far better. Maybe, just maybe, I'm being dramatic now. Can you imagine the song, I Can Only Imagine, back in the days of Paul? I can only imagine. Maybe he knew what heaven looked like. The Christ that died for him, Paul, as an opinion, might have had the chance to go up and meet his Redeemer, to stand before his throne, hands lifted up, saying, Jesus, I love you. I'm with you now. Finally, I'm here. I've been beat up, Jesus, but I'm with you here, and I love you. He said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, he said, which is far better. But listen to the mind that he walked in. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Jesus, which is far better. But to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Who does that sound like to you? Maybe Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down as a man in the flesh for sinners. Paul said, I will abide in the flesh for the furtherance of your walk with Jesus. I will abide in the flesh because be with him, it's why I live. But I'm going to stay just a little longer. The Jesus that I worship is there. I love him and I want to go to him. The Jesus that lives up there in heaven, in the heavenly realm, is in me. I'll see him up there, which is far better. But he that I see up there, he is in me. And if he that's up there is in me, I'll show you he that's up there in me. I'll show him to you. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What's the fruit of your labor, Paul? I want to magnify him. No offense. The gospel will advance because I know who I am. I know what I've been created to do, and I understand his mercy, and I am a bondservant. I don't have a will. His will is my will. There is no offense in him. None whatsoever. And this is the remarkable thing, and I'm almost done. Almost done. Are you with me so far? He said, that Christ shall be magnified in my life, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in this human body, this is the fruit of my labor. What I shall choose, I what not, for I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, yet to abide in the flesh, Corelli, is more needful for you. The God that I worship is in a heavenly realm, but his spirit is in me. And he that's up there is here in me. And I live here as a servant in prison, defending the gospel, showing you who he is while I am in prison. Pastor Bronk can't stress enough that those that were sent by Jesus were dead men. Timothy, Paul said, I have no one like him who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, I have no one like him who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. Not Timothy, he seeks the things that are of Jesus Christ. Of Epaphroditus, he said, he didn't even regard his life. He had no life. He didn't regard his life. That's what Jesus Christ is looking for. If you walk in offense, you're still hanging on to your life, man. No, I'm not mad. I want to help you, man. Christians get involved in equity, equality. Let me, real quick, challenge equity. I won't go much into it. Just there was 10 African Americans that were all born again. They knew Jesus. And there was 10 Anglo-Saxon white people. 10 African Americans, 10 Anglo-Saxons, 10 white people. The African Americans knew Jesus Christ as Savior. They were Christians. They all died and went to heaven. The Anglo-Saxons were white. None of them were born again. They weren't Christians and they died and went to hell. Was there a balance in heaven to meet a quota? Or those that were born again are the ones that inherited the kingdom of God? You do things, you receive things because you earn them. Because you earn them. You don't hire somebody to meet a quota. Heaven's not filled to make a quota. Heaven's filled with born again believers only. There's your equity, man. Now, are there things that are happening that are not right? Yes. Have people not been hired because they're black? Yes. Have people not been hired because they're white? Yes. Have people not been hired because they're brown? Yes. What is that to me and you? What is that to me and you? It's true. It's wrong. But we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus to not walk in offense. We're here not to walk in offense. We're here not to give ourselves to a narrative, to an opinion, or to logic. We're here to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're here to fellowship in that gospel. We're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, whether by life or by death. This is the fruit of my labor, that Christ would be magnified in my body, regardless of past hurts. Don't fall for equity, man. Don't fall for equality. If a person works hard, they'll be exalted. God is our provider. God gives the increase. Yes, there's been racism. It's going to be God, yes. It's pathetic. Yes, there's been slavery. Yes, the black men were treated bad in the bad, bad, bad. Bad. Wrong. Yes, it's wrong. But we're black and brown people that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, man. We can't go to the judges. We can't want to be justified and the wicked to be punished. We can't go to the judge and say, lay him down on his back and put marks on his back for what he did to me. We can't do that. You disannul the blood, man. He said, I live that Christ will be magnified in my life, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh as Miss Candy, I live so that Christ would be magnified. Period. No comma. Period. Sent to prison because of the gospel. In prison because of the gospel. Yet he defended the gospel that he was in prison for. How? He led prisoners to Jesus. The gospel is furtherance. It's progressed. It's advanced because I'm here to defend it, because I'm here to glorify God in prison, out of prison, as a martyr. I'm here sold out as a servant, as a revivalist to the kingdom of God. And this is the thing, and I'm done. I got one more portion of scripture to share with you. And that second Philippians, what is it, 12 to 15, verse 12 to 15, I think. Finishing up with this. You could use this letter as Christian conduct in the church. You can. You can. But in essence and in context, Paul's writing this letter to believers regarding their adversaries. Are you with me? You can use this letter for Christian living in the church. You can. But in context, he's telling believers, you're going to have adversaries in your life. You're going to have enemies because of the gospel. I'm in prison because of the gospel. But I'm defending the gospel that I'm in prison for. And because I'm defending the gospel, I'm glorifying Jesus. I have no other reason to live other than Jesus. But he said this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. This is the thing. In the church, not per se our church, in general, corporately, a person gets offended easy for something small. You will get offended for something big. You will be offended over something big. You will be. You will. I don't care what you say. If something small offends you, I'll just leave it at that. I'm not calling you a liar, but you're just not telling the truth. Paul said this, not towards the end of the letter, but in the second chapter, which we know that there's no chapters in this epistle. He said, work out. He's instructed the church in Philippi. Take into consideration all that I talked about for the last 30 minutes. And I'm done wrapping it up with this. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? He tells you what it means in that passage. Work out, Amokali. Work out your life in Christ. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to do and will of his good pleasure. He said, work it out, Natalie. Work it out, Homer. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, Marty. For it is God, Carl. For it is God, Rosie, that worketh in you both to do and will of his good pleasure. Here we go. Here we go. This is validation that Paul is teaching the church how to conduct themselves in the world amongst unbelievers. And if you don't have the mindset that you're born again to glorify Christ, this book will be dung unto you. If you don't realize that you've been begotten by an abundant mercy and that you don't have the right to walk in offense, this book will mean nothing to you. If you don't realize that you don't have rights to defend yourself when someone does you wrong. And I know that sounds crazy talk. Some of you are born again and spirit-filled. You might disagree with me. Why? Because you lack the knowledge of God. I don't base this pulpit on political views. I don't base what I preach on Mexican culture. I base it on Jesus' culture. to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Homer. For it's God that works in you for to do and to will of his good pleasure. Listen to what he said. In prison, do all things. In prison. Now, man of God, it doesn't say it, quote unquote, in the Bible, that he was in human ways, but I know mighty men of God that don't exaggerate, that have studied history. They said that Paul was in human dung up to his waist. He was in, let me break it down to you, he was in doo-doo up to his waist. And he writes this epistle. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, sons of God. Listen, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, amongst sinners, do all things without murmurings and disputings in their presence. Why? Because you're here to magnify Jesus. You're here born of him. His blood washed you clean. He sanctified you. He perfected your conscience. You belong to him. You didn't ransom yourself. He ransomed you. He bought you. He owns you. Do all things without murmurings and this. I know there's been hurts in the past. I know that. Let's talk about the victory in the past 2,000 years ago when holiness hung on the cross for our sin. My sin was not forgiven in increments. I'll forgive you a little here, a little there, Homer. All of my sin was forgiven the day I asked Christ into my heart. You can't forgive in increments. You are out of order. You are editing the gospel. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You may be harmless, blameless, harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life. Let it sink in, man. This I pray, that your love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment. That you would approve things that are excellent. That you would be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This has to possess you. It has to possess you. He said back in chapter 1, and I'm done because Maya just texted. He said, hurry up, I'm hungry. Finish with this last sentence. With one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We don't live for any other reason but that he would be seen in our life. He didn't forgive my sin in increments. He forgave them all to love. Listen to me. We're to love the adulterer. We're to love the fornicator. We're to love the thief. We're to love the transgender. We're to love the homosexual. We're to love everybody. We don't have to love their lifestyle, but we are to love them. We can't judge the world. We can judge each other. We can't judge them. We got to be that shining light that makes them want what we say we have. How are you going to talk about somebody that has their own sexual preference? How are you going to talk about that person and revile him and make fun of him or her and then say you want them born again? How are the Christians on Fox News that claim quote unquote solid believers make fun of a man that had a stroke and mock him and laugh at him? How are they sharing their testimony of who they are in Christ when they make fun of Mr. Biden? My dad had dementia, man. And it wasn't fun beholding that, man. You can't control your thoughts. You know what platform I support. I don't have to explain that to you. You get the overall message, don't you? We're here. We're here to magnify Christ, whether by life or by death. For to us, this little church of Haitians, of black, of Mexican, whites, Jews, Puerto Ricans, we got everything here. We're here to share the gospel of the kingdom. Show and tell. If we show them that we love Jesus, we tell them about Jesus, it's almost more easier to win them once they see who we are. Show and tell, man. Show first who you are. Then when you tell, it'll be a lot easier. Amen? Amen? Amen. What time is it? 8:21? Oh, man. Sorry, I tried to get this out by 8:30. God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Excellent job, Homer. Amen. Excellent job. Glory. We appreciate everybody being with us. The man pontificated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand. I know we always get word. And praise God. It's so good. It was so good. Father, thank you for it. We bless it. We thank you. Bless Homer for those hours and time. And Lord, I know he's doing something he loves to do, but Lord, we thank you that he's able to give it to us in strength and simplicity. Father, bless your people. Thank you for bringing us back Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. What did you tell me something earlier? Oh, okay. So praise God. So they're going to have to do another interview tomorrow. One of the head men, we know who Roker is at NBC, and they want to do a live interview at the beach tomorrow. So pray the testimony of Jesus Christ is manifest. And Father, we just pray that right now, that as Carl is interviewed again tomorrow by NBC, that the power of God will rest upon him. We don't take this just as an outside kind of worldly neat thing, but Lord, this is more than that. It's far more. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the possibility of sharing the gospel truth, his testimony. And Father, we just pray your blessings will rest upon him in Jesus' name. Guide him, lead him, open up his mind and heart to the wisdom of God. Anoint him, I pray, and bring things to his mind that he can't think of himself. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful night.